Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community. And welcome to Nature Mystic with Selena Fox, a podcast where we enjoy encore presentations of topics covered by Circle Sanctuary Senior Minister Selena Fox from her previous podcasts, Circle Craft Studies and Nature Folk. Tonight's encore presentation is from Circle Craft Studies in 2012, where Selena discussed ways to work with the old and new traditions, symbols, and rites in creating personal and community Samhain celebrations.
Welcome to Circle Craft Study with Selena Fox. Blessed Samhain and Happy Halloween. On tonight's show, we will be exploring ways to celebrate Samhain, ways to celebrate Halloween, some of the similarities and some of the differences between these two holidays at this time of year. Let us begin with an honoring of this time of year. We call to the spirit of autumn. We call to the spirit of the last of the harvest. We call to the divine as crone goddess and as horned one of the woods and of creatures. We call to the spirit of the wild hunt. We call to the spirits of our ancestors. We honor our ancestors of family and blood. We honor our ancestors of culture and place. We honor our ancestors of our spiritual tradition and people. May the powers of this time of year and this sacred circle be with us, be around us, now and in the time to come. So mote it be. As we go into the Samhain season, we can explore a variety of different ways that we can create personal, household, group, and community celebrations. A good place to begin is with the home. Decorating the home for the season of Samhain can be done in a variety of different ways. On the front door, place a wreath of autumn leaves, of Samhain symbols, of other symbolic representations of this time of year. On your doorstep or inside your front door, you may have some symbols of the harvest that are actually harvest produce. A cauldron of apples, a big pumpkin, a bowl of acorns are some possibilities. In addition to your portal, look around your home place for some places where you can have symbols of the season. I like having colored leaves and brown leaves as the colors fade from green to orange and red and yellow and gold into brown, to have some oak leaves from different stages of the fall that are representation of the changing time of the autumn season. For Samhain is the high point of autumn. I also have in my own home candles of various shapes and sizes, and I use the colors orange and black. And at times I also have indigo, a deep blue, and deep purple as some accent colors in candles and in other decorations. I have an ancestors altar at my home that I have year-round, but at Samhain time, I expand upon my work with the ancestors and create a special altar to honor the ancestors throughout the Samhain season. I take items from my year-round Samhain altar and place them on that altar for Samhain. Photographs, heirlooms, some votive candles, and I have a place setting consisting of a ceramic dish and a chalice that have a Samhain-themed image on it. A tree that's lost its leaves with a great moon is on the chalice, and a big pentacle is in the center of the plate. And I have this at the very center of my ancestral Samhain altar, and that is something that I use in connection with Samhain rituals. I take a bit of food and a bit of beverage on the night that I have as the height of my Samhain celebration. And whatever I am dining on that night, I take a bit of that food and place it on that plate before I start eating. I take a bit of whatever beverage or beverages I'm going to be consuming, and I put them in that cup before I start eating. And I kindle a candle to represent the eternal spirit of love with the ancestral realm. I also have on my Samhain ancestor altar a crystal, and that, along with some other items that I have, often will use a scrying glass or a small mirror under that crystal to create a portal for ancestral connection and expression. Another custom that I have within my own home place is, as Samhain draws near, I add a variety of different decorations to the mantle and to my regular household altar and to the Samhain altar. And these may be things that I acquire on my walks in nature. They may be symbols of the season that I have and bring out every year. And then another thing that I do in my own home setting is make time to reflect on the year that has been. For like many who observe Samhain as a sacred time. This is the new year. Amongst the Celtic peoples, this was the Celtic New Year. Among Wiccans and Druids and many other pagans, this is a time of looking over the past and preparing for the future. It is a time of reset, of purification, of release, a time to reflect on the dead and on dying as part of the cycle of life, death, and rebirth. And it is a time for looking ahead to what is to come in this new spiritual year. For myself and others in the Circle Craft tradition, this is our spiritual new year as we go into the last part of the calendar year. We also celebrate solstice is the new solar year and the beginning of the calendar year as the secular new year. But that new year celebration, a series of those three celebrations, begins at Samhain with the last of the harvest and the beginning of spiritual transformation and renewal. I also set up a place in my home where I can do divination work during the Samhain season. I talk about Samhain season because, like others in ancient times who celebrated Samhain, rather than it being just one evening when the gateways between the world of the dead and the world of the living are open, the veil between those dimensions grows thin and more contact is possible, Samhain actually can be celebrated over a period of time. Indeed, some people in the old times, as well as in the present time, myself included, celebrate Samhain over a period of days and nights. For my own purposes, I begin my Samhain celebration a few weeks after fall equinox has come. I spend a good portion of October preparing myself, preparing my home for Samhain in the new year. This can take a variety of forms. One can be rearranging parts of my home, taking a look at my pattern in daily life and making some adjustments there, looking over the past year, year in review, month by month, highlighting things that I saw were successes, things I want to build on for the future, but also paying attention to mistakes and challenges and the rough spots and finding ways of turning the difficulties of the past year into learning opportunities, being able to take the lessons from them and letting go of the pain and the frustrations and the other negative emotions that might surface as I do the year in review. For myself, Samhain is especially a good time for this year in review because I was born shortly before Samhain on October 20th. So as part of my own birthday year in review, I combine that with my Samhain year in review. And my birthday and my Samhain celebration. And yes, I celebrate Halloween too, are all part of a season of not only introspection, but celebration. Samhain can be a very powerful time for developing one's own intuitive abilities and ways to do that include some special meditations designed to heighten one's intuitive perceptions, taking a look at journals, dream diaries, and other personal materials that you've worked on over the past few weeks or even the past month or year, and calling to mind those experiences in which intuition has been noticed and turned out to be correct. Samhain is another time for personal development in the realm of coming to terms with death. Taking a look at the whole circle of life, growth, death, repose, rebirth, the whole cycle of life and death and rebirth. Reflecting on self across lifetimes, reflecting on self as being part of a much larger circle of life, death, and rebirth, of humankind being part of a larger system of life, death, and rebirth on this planet, reflecting on this planet and its place not only in our solar system and galaxy, but part of the larger universal and cosmic death, life, death, life, and renewal and rebirth that happens within the cosmos as stars come in to being, planetary systems come into being, universes, galaxies, and other systems within the larger cosmos come into being, grow, change, die, disappear. So it's a time for both the microcosm, what's going on in day-to-day life with your cycles, but also to see oneself as part of a much larger system. One of the traditions that myself and others have at this time of year, in connection with looking at death and honoring the dead and that part of the circle of life, is to think about one's own end of life in this incarnation. Reviewing the will that you've made, or if you have not made a will, to start crafting one. Creating an obituary for yourself, or if you've created one before, looking it over and revising it. These exercises not only have a pragmatic element, because none of us really get much forewarning, if any, about when we are crossing over into that other world. This is a way of preparing for the end of our physical life. But it's also a way of becoming more comfortable with that part of the circle of life. Another thing that I find as a very powerful way to celebrate Samhain is to collect ancestor stories. I talk to family members. I invite loved ones to send me photos, to write up stories, not only of those who were known in this life, who have now died, but really take a look at family history, what's been passed on through the generations. Getting photographs and stories about heirlooms that are in the family. Learning about ancestral places. Visiting ancestral places. Cleaning the gravesite of ancestors, leaving flowers or other tokens of remembrance at those gravesites. And there's ways of connecting with ancestors that we may not be related to by blood or by adoption with family ties. Paying our respects to those ancestral ones that have shaped the place, the region, the country where we are living. Paying respects to those from cultures that may be part of our heritage or that are part of the region where we are. And then the third type of ancestor, in addition to that of family and that of a place and culture, would be that of spirituality. Who are those who have been part of the spiritual tradition of which you're part? And in the Circle Craft tradition, we pay respects not only to people who have specifically studied and practice the Circle Craft tradition, but for pagan elders and teachers and other people within the larger pagan community who have gone before. One way of doing this is to make a list of names of those that have been important influences on you and your own work, those who have gone before. And there's actually some sites on the internet which have begun pulling this information together. In addition to paying respects to ancestors of different types, this also can be a powerful time to go and visit a cemetery. A cemetery with loved ones, or it may be a cemetery that has some historical or other important meanings for you, a cemetery that might be nearby where you live, and to do some care in that cemetery if the protocols of that place permit that. At Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, which is located in South Central Wisconsin, USA, out of our 200 acres, 20 acres of that are devoted to our Green Cemetery, which is a national pagan cemetery that has both a burying ground area for full body burials as well as a place where cremains are placed. While most of those with remains in our cemetery and with memorial stones and other tokens of remembrance are pagan, we are interreligious and multicultural. And we have people who come and make pilgrimage to our cemetery throughout the year. But in particular, at this Samhain time, because that is a place that not only is a place of remembrance for those with remains there, but it's a place dedicated to greening the end of life. And some people will go and do a vigil at our cemetery, for it is a gateway between the worlds. One of the traditions we have in our community is to have a grand feast at our Samhain festival. We take a bit of each of the food dishes that are served and a bit of each of the beverages that are served over the course of the three-day festival, and we have it on our spirit plate and in our spirit cup. At the end of the festival, we go up to the cemetery and place that food and that beverage on our big cemetery altar stone, along with words of respect and remembrance, not only for the dead that have remained there, but for all of our beloved dead and for the ancestral ones that we have honored individually and collectively during the course of our festival. Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve has had Samhain gatherings since its earliest days. In fact, Circle Sanctuary itself came into being shortly before Samhain of 1974. So for myself and for the organization, Samhain is a very important time, not only our spiritual new year, but it's Circle Sanctuary's birthday. So in addition to our Samhain celebration that includes workshops and ceremonies, cemetery blessing, feasting, and yes, a witch's ball with costuming and live Celtic music, we also celebrate the birthday of our organization. And Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, our land project, came into being at Samhain in 1983. So we also have that celebration as part of our festivities. We've talked a bit about Samhain now in the first part of our show tonight. I'd like to shift focus for a few moments before I open it up for our interactive, our discussion, and talk about Halloween. Halloween, typically celebrated on the 31st of October, gets its name from All Hallows' Eve. And yes, there are some connections with Samhain with Halloween, but there's also connections with All Saints' Day and All Souls' Day, which were established as Christian holidays as a time to Christianize the old pagan ways of Europe. I see Halloween as a multicultural, international, interreligious, multilingual folk holiday. A time where people of many different beliefs and religions and philosophies and spiritualities and no religion whatsoever can all come together to celebrate the end of the growing season in these northern climes where we are, and the last of the harvest, but also be a time to have some fun together. For me, I celebrate both Samhain and Halloween. I see Samhain as a religious and spiritual holiday where there may be some Halloween fun woven into the mix, but its focus is primarily geared towards personal, household, community, and religion observation and celebration. Halloween is a much more lighthearted, and more secular dimension, even though some of its roots date back not only to the ancient Celts and the Samhain celebrations, but to medieval Christianity, and depending on where you are in the world, there may be some other holidays at this time of year that have both religious and cultural components, such as the Days of the Dead, which are celebrated in Mexico and some other parts of Latin America. Halloween is a time for make-believe, for storytelling, for dress-up, for having some fun before the weather turns really cold in some of these parts of North America where I've been celebrating it over the years. Halloween is a time for trick-or-treating, for costuming, for Halloween symbols, haunted houses, looking at ghosts, a time for watching some scary movies and telling ghost stories. And it really manifests in many different ways, depending on who's celebrating it and what the community is open to. As I grew up as a fundamentalist Southern Baptist, I will say that we had Halloween in our church as well as in our schools and in the community where I live. So yes, in public school, there was Halloween celebration. In Christian church, there was Halloween celebration. And in the neighborhood and the whole community as a whole, there was Halloween celebration. It was considered a fun holiday and a time where kids could get out and move around the community, trick-or-treating. And a lot has changed over the years. In my youth, which was, I did most of my trick-or-treating in the 1950s. And during that time, Halloween was very much a kind of family affair in Northern Virginia, where I grew up, and it was just a kind of folk holiday. I live near Madison, Wisconsin, and have since the early 1970s, and while I'm out on a nature preserve about 30 miles from the center of Madison, I do get into Madison from time to time during the Samhain season. And Madison is one of the communities within the United States that has had a long tradition of Halloween in the streets. And there have been times where that has been very exuberant and fun and has worked out well. And there have been some other times where some of the trickster, prankster part of Halloween that can be really problematic for some people have gotten out of hand. So there's been an attempt to have the Halloween in the streets be in a way that's safe and fun for people of all ages. Many communities across the United States have Halloween celebrations, parades and parties. Some have bonfires and other traditional ways of celebrating the end of the harvest. And certainly, I see Halloween as some opportunities to converge people of different spiritual and philosophical backgrounds, walks of life, into celebrations. And as we look at the United States of America and looking at common practices in terms of folk life and pop culture, Halloween is the second most celebrated holiday in the calendar year, second only to Yuletide, also known as Christmas and New Year's. I think that if one is going about celebrating this time of year, it's good to take a look at how much Halloween to weave into one's life and how much Samhain. For myself, I have my own particular traditions connected with Samhain that I've talked about in the first part of our evening tonight. But my Halloween celebration will vary from year to year, depending on when the date falls in relationship to our observances of Samhain. I do find time on Halloween night to also do a Samhain meditation and connection with the ancestors. So I have my own personal observances that I do. One of the things that I like to do as part of my home decor, in addition to having things specifically geared towards my Samhain spiritual practices, is to bring in some of the Halloween imagery that can be readily available in different shops and art galleries and other places in society. One of the things that I like to do is collect folklore witch images, and in particular, those ones which are happy and whimsical and magical in appearance. So yes, I will weave into my Samhain some Halloween witch imagery as part of my connecting with the season. I see at Samhain, Halloween and Samhain can converge in a tradition that I do every year, which is some education about paganism in the public sector. I typically don't seek out media attention at this time of year. However, there's generally some opportunity to do an interview. Might be a magazine or a newspaper or television or radio, in the public media, and I look at what opportunities come my way. Sometimes I will take those opportunities if I get a sense I'm the best person to be able to do that because they've asked me, but sometimes I pass that media work on to other people so that there are many voices and faces talking about paganism at this time of year. I do think Samhain can be an opportunity, as well as Halloween, an opportunity to be able to not only talk about the pagan roots and the Christian roots of Halloween, the folk festival, but to put forth some ways that pagans and Christians and people of different faiths and no faiths can all work together to have a society with liberty and justice for all. So one of the traditions that I have is both part of my Halloween and my Samhain observances is to do some work around religious freedom, and in particular, pagan rites. What are some chants that we can work with at this time of year? I'd like to close with a couple of those. One is a very simple chant that I do prior to the divination work for Samhain. Often we will have cauldrons of various tarot cards, and everyone at our big community festival will draw one of those cards as a token of guidance for the year to come. So a very simple chant would be, guidance for the new year come, guidance for the new year come, guidance for the new year come. And to do that repeatedly, to focus one's attention and intention on receiving that guidance and then reaching into the cauldron and pulling a card. So that's a very simple, short, divinatory chant that can be done as part of Samhain observances. Another would be a chant of honoring the ancestors. Ancestors, we call to you. Ancestors, we honor you. Ancestors, we remember you. Ancestors, we call to you. Ancestors, we honor you. Ancestors, we remember you. Ancestors, we call to you. Ancestors, we honor you. Ancestors, we remember you. And of course, celebratory chants, Happy Halloween, which many people use for their Happy Halloween celebrations, or Good Samhain, or Samhain Blessings, or Blessed Samhain, or Happy New Year for those that consider this a spiritual New Year time. These are some of my thoughts about ways to celebrate Samhain. Certainly, this is just a start in these traditions, and whether you choose to celebrate Samhain individually or with your household or with a group of people or with a larger community, I wish you a wonderful Samhain. And if you choose to celebrate Halloween as well, I wish you a happy and safe and fun Halloween. And now in this last part of our evening, we shift into dialogue, and I want to welcome into the conversation David and Jeanette Ewing and wish you blessings of the season.
Hello, happy fall and almost Samhain.
Yes.
That's right. We're doing the time release Samhain. I figure I'll start early enough in October, and then we can start the ideas generating and some of the traditions generating, so that as the holiday comes on, we'll have opportunities to not only keep alive traditions that we may already have in place in our lives, but I like to enhance traditions every year by adding a symbol or adding a custom or doing a variation.
Hi. Yeah, something a little different every year to kind of add to the tradition.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm wondering what kind of comments have come forth in the chat room.
Well, our friend Terry in New Jersey is going to be celebrating the Day of the Dead on November 2nd because she also practices Strega.
That's great.
Yeah, so we'll have to learn more about that from her. I think that'd be cool, a good discussion at some point.
The Italian version of that.
Yeah.
Which is going to be different from the Latino, primarily Mexican, but not exclusively Mexican, Dia de los Muertos.
Day of the Dead.
Right.
Yeah.
And what they do is they will actually go out on November 1st, which is when they celebrate it. And it's really a way of not as much work is done on, to my knowledge, on doing any sort of personal communication or anything like that in trying to connect with the dead. It's more about honoring their lives and honoring who they were. And so what they tend to do is they will go out on that day and go to the graveyards and not only clean it up, but the additional dimension of this is that they will actually have a picnic and fill in said family member with everything that's been going on. So it's in many Latino families, it is multi-generational anyway, and so within one household, and so many times, you know, an entire family will go out and go to the gravestones, or maybe plural, and, you know, honor them by, you know, having a picnic. It sounds weird, having a picnic lunch on the grave of the loved one.
Right, and Terry just posted, in Italy, they'll bring out the bones of the dead from the mausoleums, display them, and have dinner with them.
Wow.
So it's well, that's kind of interesting. There's some commonalities between the two cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Well, absolutely, and I think part of the reason that in Roman Catholicism, this holiday had All Saints Day and All Souls Day was there was already a tradition in ancient Italy, pagan Italy, of honoring the ancestors at this time. And in Mexico and other places where there were Mayan and Aztec peoples, there was actually a multi-week celebration of the dead at this time of year. And as Roman Catholicism via the Spanish came over into Mexico, the indigenous traditions merged with that. And it's my understanding that in Italy, a similar processes happened, that the old pagan ways of honoring the ancestors had another layer over it as Christianity started emerging in that country.
Right. And so in these two cultures, and, you know, my personal experiences with the indigenous Mexican culture, which is Aztec more recently, but prior to that, Mayan, and there actually is the Mayan culture is still alive in the very southern part of Mexico. And these both groups of people and other smaller indigenous Indian groups or tribes of that region also had a similar vein where they honored the dead. They honored their ancestors, and there was a lot of variety of things that they did, and there were names of different spirits or deities or whatever that they had worked with. And so with the bringing in of Catholicism, the reason why the church has never really done much to try to dissuade that is that it was so fully, this practice was so fully ingrained within the Mexican culture that they couldn't really do anything about it. So they've kind of turned a blind eye, and then they just renamed it, and, you know, they give some sort of, they acknowledge it, and they're sort of resigned to the fact that these, you know, very Catholic people have kept to their folk ways in honoring their dead, and it's, you know, taken on a slightly different twist and stuff. And there are also just a variety of very unique things that they do. They also have, within the Mexican culture, just like other cultures, this idea of honoring the dead with food, inviting them to their dinner table outright, or having a specific altar with food on it. And no one is ever supposed to touch the food, and there are all kinds of other things that go with that. And, you know, the idea is that within the Mexican culture, they also use marigolds. They're grown a lot down there, and the marigolds are used to mark a path from the graveyard to the home so that the dead can find their way to their family member's home to be with them on that day.
That's really fabulous. Well, Gloria Villanova, who her maiden name was Gonzalez, who's Mexican-American, and she's Circle Sanctuary minister who died several years ago. Her cremains and her memorial stone are in Circle Cemetery. While she was alive, from time to time at our Samhain gathering, she would create an altar for honoring the dead. In fact, as part of her work with Milwaukee Area Technical College, she was part of multicultural instruction about Latin American cultures and peoples, and she had these fabulous altars she would create for Days of the Dead as part of public displays and things. Well, a few years before she passed on, she gave me a orange silk flower, kind of based on that whole marigold dimension. And one of my traditions now that she has crossed over is to use that silk flower and to bring it out every Samhain in her memory. Sometimes I'm putting it up on her gravestone. Sometimes I have it in our temple room at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, where as part of our main ritual every year, we have an indoor portion where we have tables lining this huge temple room, and people bring out images of their ancestors, photographs, votive candles, heirlooms, other mementos. So I sometimes have it there in the temple room, and sometimes I have it up at the Circle Cemetery. But in working with it, I not only have in mind her heritage and her work with that dimension of Samhain within her own cultural heritage, but the fact that it's a personal token that she had shared with me. And I do think that it is a good idea to have photographs, start gathering up photographs and other mementos of those that we may wish to honor at Samhain, start gathering them up during the month of October. I do a special honoring of those who have been loved ones who have crossed over in the past year, be they relatives, be they friends, creatures, other loved ones that have been part of my life. So every year I will have some symbol of those who have crossed over. I had a cousin cross over within this past year, and a family member passed on to me a camera, an old box camera, that as he was in the final stages of life and I was able to give him some support, one of his requests was that I would get this camera. So this year on my personal household altar, I will have Dale's camera as well as some other representations of him, for he has crossed over. I've also lost some friends who weren't pagan, a woman named Judy Shaner, and one of the things that I'll be doing is having a remembrance of her. She was part of a Roman Catholic community that does environmental work and that actually hosts an interfaith group that I've been part of for many years. So my own personal Samhain altars have loved ones of different religions and beliefs and no beliefs. As for me, it's a time and a place to honor their memory. I'm wondering if there's any other ideas or comments that have come in through live chat tonight that we want to mention on the air before we do our final closing.
Yeah, there was a person who she chooses not to, because of a lot of personal issues with her immediate blood kin family, to connect with those ancestors. And so one thing that's important, I think, for people to know and remember is that, well, Samhain is a big time for honoring ancestors, but it doesn't always have to be exclusively or primarily the blood kin, and you had mentioned some of the other types. And, you know, it doesn't even have to be those people. It can be friends. I mean, people who have had any sort of impact on your life that you've had some sort of connection with. And we see this a lot at the Circle Samhain yearly ritual, is that people also bring photos and mementos of their four-legged family members. And that
exactly.
And important.
Yeah, I think that is a really important piece. And last year, right before Samhain, my longtime animal companion familiar Artemis crossed over, and at Samhain, at the start of our gathering, we had her funeral. And actually, my media work last year was originally going to be about our green cemetery, and I was approached by the Chicago Tribune about that, and they said, well, are you doing any burials at this time of year? Well, my cat had just died, and they ended up covering the cat funeral, and first time we ever had one of our temple cats' funeral covered by the media. But I did see it as a really powerful time to not only do my respects for an animal companion that had been part of my life for many years, 19 years, but in her death, in her passing, and our honoring her, we were able to not only do some education about greening the end of life, but really acknowledge that support circles don't have to just be humans. And I do think that that is something that many people are being more open about in discussing, with each other. Well, we have coming up this month some additional shows. I'm going to be doing next week, Cauldron Witchery. The cauldron is something that's associated with Halloween and Samhain, and I'm going to be sharing some ways next week on ways of working with the cauldron as a magical tool for spiritual practice, personal and planetary transformation. And then as we get closer to Samhain, on the 23rd of October, I will be doing Ancestor Magic. This show will be an intensive that brings together a workshop that I have had at different parts of the country over the years, and most recently at Chicago Pagan Pride Day. So I'm going to be sharing some of that information then. And then on the 30th of October, I'm going to be doing a Samhain ritual and invite all of you and others that listen later to come and join in. There'll be an opportunity to experience the Samhain ritual on the 30th of October. I want to thank everyone who tuned in tonight and to everybody who will be tuning in later. I want to thank Jeanette and David for your support with this show. Invite people to tune into their show that they do with Pamela Kelly on Saturday night, Pagan Warrior Radio. I want to also thank Ed and Tracy of Pagans Tonight Radio Network, and do a shout out for the Pagan Priest show that will be following us shortly. You can get more information about Samhain celebrations on my main Facebook page. I'm celebrating on my Selena Fox updates page every day this month, putting photos and links and lore and rituals and articles, and the Circle Sanctuary website, www.circlesanctuary.org, has some information for celebrating the seasons. My online guide has been expanded. In fact, one of the things that's happened just recently is we've added a new music section to the Celebrating Samhain page. And one of the songs that you will find a link to there is one that we're going to go out with from Dave, or also known as Dom the Bard, Samhain Eve. I wish you all a wonderful time for preparing for Samhain and celebrating it. And for all of our listeners in the Southern Hemisphere, I wish you a good Beltane and a good Samhain 6 months from now. Many blessings. Thank you.
Blessed are we.
And thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.